Marx follows the ever-changing landscape to discuss the latest pressing issues relevant to brand owners in Europe and beyond. During this series, Marx members and special guests share updates, experiences, and opinions. This is IP Law Today. This is Talking Marx.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of the Talking Marx podcast. I'm James Nerton, the Marx editor. And today we have a special episode of the podcast looking at the work of the European Observatory on Infringements of Intellectual Property Rights at EUIPO. And I'm delighted to be joined by Alexandra Pock, Deputy Director of the Observatory. Alexandra, thank you very much for taking part today.
Thank you very much for inviting me, James. It's a pleasure to be here.
And we also have two members of the Marx Anti-Counterfeiting and Parallel Trade team who've both worked closely with the Observatory and also write a monthly update for the House Marx newsletter. And they are Maria Cecilia Romolaru from Corral Rosales in Ecuador, who's also a member of the International Panel of Experts for the Observatory, and Sonia Santos of Grau y Angulo in Spain, who's a member of the Observatory's Enforcement Working Group. So welcome to both of you, Sonia and Maria Cecilia.
Hi, James. Thank you very much.
Thank you, James. Pleasure to be here.
Maria Cecilia and Sonia will both share some perspectives later on, and I think also have some questions to ask. So we'll all be contributing to the podcast. But I want to start with you, Alexandra. Can you just tell us a little bit about the work of the Observatory and also, in particular, what your role is?
Of course, I'd be pleased to. So the work of the Observatory of Infringement of Intellectual Property Rights is linked to a very real issue and an important issue, and that is the issue of counterfeiting and piracy. We know that about 6% of imports into the EU are counterfeits, and we know that EU citizens, 13% of them, actually intentionally listen or access digital content online that is not licensed, and the younger generation, it's even a higher percentage. So there really is a need for something to be done. And the Observatory, which is located here at the European Union Intellectual Property Office, does exactly that. We have three main objectives. We provide objective evidence that enables the EU policymakers to shape effective policies. We also support enforcement authorities because, of course, that is really important that they are supported both in terms of knowledge building, but also with tools. And we raise awareness. So we want to make sure that everybody understands the value of intellectual property, but also the negative consequences of infringing intellectual property.
And what is your role as the Deputy Director?
As the Deputy Director, I lead with my team, obviously, with the heads of service of the different services of the Observatory. I look into exactly those three angles that I just mentioned. So we're working together as a team to provide, on the one hand, objective evidence, so like studies, for example, where we're working with cooperation partners like the OECD or the EPO to provide objective figures. And also support enforcement, so knowledge building. We're doing a lot of pre-operational knowledge building work, which means that we sit together with cooperation partners such as Europol and OLAF and look at how we can bring them together with right holders and share information to make the operations afterwards more successful. And of course, the awareness raising aspect. And here we're working a lot in the area of education at all levels, really, to try and bring the concept of intellectual property to the next generation. Because if we want to make any changes in terms of the behavior of the citizens, then we will have to really start with the younger generation and look towards the future.
Yeah. And how long have you been with the Observatory?
I've been with the Observatory now. I've been longer with the EUIPO in general, but I joined the Observatory 10 years ago. And it still feels fresh every single day.
What does a typical day involve for you? Lots of meetings, I imagine.
Yes, lots of meetings, but also a lot of discussions with the colleagues. If we don't have meetings with stakeholders, which we do a lot, because the Observatory really is a stakeholder network, I think that's really very important to stress. You know, the Observatory is not a department. Well, it is also the Observatory Department is obviously a department of the EUIPO, but the Observatory as such is a network, and it's a network of stakeholders of the public sector, the private sector, where, of course, Marx is also an association that is a stakeholder of the Observatory, and also civil society. So, yes, there are a number of meetings where we discuss with the stakeholders, and we appreciate very much the feedback we receive about what issues we should be tackling. And then, of course, also I sit a lot with my colleagues in the relevant services, and we discuss latest developments, because as we see these figures, we then need to see where do they come from, and ideally, how can we address them?
Interesting. Thank you. And I think that's probably a good time. Maria Cecilia, I think you've got a question for Alexandra.
Exactly. I have a question for you, Alexandra. What are your current priorities and projects at the Observatory?
Thanks, Maria Cecilia. Yes, well, projects, you know, we've got in those three areas that I outlined, we've got over 50 work streams. So how much time do you have? But priorities, I think I can highlight a number of them that are a number of issues that really are on the forefront of our thoughts at the moment. One, of course, is the digital world, digital infringement and enforcement. So we obviously see an ever-growing popularity of e-commerce. Unfortunately, at the same time, we also see a rise in counterfeits that are being promoted and sold through those channels, misusing the legitimate channels that the intermediaries make available. And so that is an important subject matter where we are actively working with e-commerce marketplaces and with other intermediaries to see how we can stem that tide. Let's put it that way. And then another big aspect that I would definitely mention is education. I mentioned already that, you know, if we want the next generation to be aware of what IP infringement and of course also IP crime, what it really is and why they should not be participating, then we need to bring the concept of intellectual property to the different levels of education. So you start out with the younger ones with more the concept of reward for innovation, no, and creativity. And then you go all the way through to the up to even the tertiary education to make sure actually that future designers and future inventors actually know about intellectual property and can make the best use of it when they are making their invention or create their designs and create their little companies, the SMEs that are the backbone of the economy. So a really important part. And then thirdly, I would highlight the fight against IP crime, definitely, because I mentioned, of course, that this I was speaking about piracy and counterfeiting, and we're very quick to think, oh, well, it's just the companies that are losing in this. You know, obviously, we're losing the entire society, because first of all, it is a big problem for the companies that have invested in innovation and creativity to lose through counterfeiting and piracy, but also depending on what counterfeits, for example, you're talking about, it's actually a danger to health and safety. And because it is such a rewarding, from a criminal point of view, such a rewarding activity to sell counterfeits and to provide unlicensed digital content, you actually find a very strong link to organized crime. And so one of our big priorities at the moment is to ensure to try that the fight against IP crime stays a priority in the fight against organized crime.
And actually, on the point about danger, on the day we're recording this, which is 21st of June, I think the WHO has just issued a warning, hasn't it, about fake drugs. So it just shows how concerning that particular aspect is.
Indeed, that is a real problem. And you will find when you look into that particular warning and also the linked trend that is being highlighted in that warning, that is definitely one of the very worrying trends, which our colleagues from Europol as well have been talking about. So,
and you talked about education. I mean, I think everyone would agree that's a really important priority. How can that be done? Does it need to be done through schools and colleges to educate people about the benefits of IP and the dangers of counterfeiting, or does it need sort of other mechanisms in society?
Well, you definitely have to start with schools, I think, schools and colleges. Definitely, if they would already contribute to raising this awareness, I think that would already help tremendously. But of course, awareness can come from many angles. And we're working more generally towards the general public as well. So for example, every year there is a big awareness campaign that we do together with partners in different countries, but it covers the entire EU. And we raise awareness about particular issues related to IP. And this year, we obviously hooked it onto something that's very close to the heart of everybody right now, and that is sports. So we found cooperation partners there, and we worked on a pan-European media campaign dedicated to sports and to playing fair. You know, play fair was essentially the slogan there. And I think if you can hook the awareness also into something that's in the culture at a given point in time, then you will have a quite successful awareness raising.
Sonia, I think you also have a question for Alexandra.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. Hi, Alexandra. I was wondering, what are the biggest challenges for the observatory and how are these changing?
I think the scale is definitely one of the biggest challenges. The scale of counterfeiting and piracy. You will definitely, if you see, well, I mentioned up to 6% of imports into the EU. And then if you're considering the challenges for customs, for example, to stop counterfeits at the border and what they actually do stop, and we've got those figures as well, then you just see the scale is tremendous. And this is why it is so important to continue the work that we're doing and that all of the parties in this fight are doing. The online component, I mentioned digital. So, of course, the moment, you know, e-commerce started really exploding, it's been there for a while, but once it started really exploding, you can imagine the challenges at the border with small parcels. Clearly, you know, one of the big issues. Also, one of the problems is that criminals are really quick to adapt, really quick. I mean, we saw this in actually very, very clearly during the COVID pandemic. We were on lockdown and you could see the changes not only in the trade streams, but also in the streams of the fake products and in the type of products that were being faked. You know, we know about face masks, we know about other things. So it really is amazing how quickly organized crime can jump onto the latest trend and can, you know, try to make money from it. And that's definitely also one of the challenges. And then maybe the last thing to mention is technology, because that is a challenge. It's also an opportunity, but it's also a challenge. So if we're talking, for example, about artificial intelligence, of course, it can be misused in order to create more counterfeit listings, for example, more listings for counterfeit on platforms. But it could also be used and is used by the enforcement authorities, obviously, to try and stop. So technology is a double-edged sword.
Yes, indeed. Yes. And those trends that you mentioned that emerged during the pandemic, I think, you know, a lot of people are aware of those, you know, the growth in e-commerce, growth in online shopping and different supply chains and so on. Have they continued since the pandemic? You know, we're a couple of years on now, or are you seeing new trends emerging?
Well, they have continued. In terms of e-commerce, we've not gone back down in any way, shape or form. And you see this in the figures that are published that look at the level of use of e-commerce, no? And more generally, the level of use for, I don't want to talk just about counterfeit, so about also the use of digital content. And the small parcel issue is just rising. It's not going down anytime soon.
So
I think
still a very big challenge. And is there any one development that you think will have an impact in the next few years on counterfeiting and piracy that you're kind of looking out for?
Well, I think technology would definitely be it. As mentioned, it's a double-edged sword because, of course, you know, enforcement is also using it. And the private sector is using it to try and stem the counterfeit and pirate activities. But definitely, yes, technology and the development of technology will be an ongoing challenge.
And the enforcers and the rights owners need to keep up with the counterfeiters and the pirates. Yeah. It's a challenge.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, and sometimes, unfortunately, it's also the truth that sometimes crime is a few paces before us or in front of us, because, of course, they don't need to observe any rules. Exactly.
Comply.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah. They can do what they want. Yeah. Good. Okay. Well, thank you very much for that. I'm going to give Alexandra just a bit of a break to get your breath back. But Maria Cecilia, we mentioned earlier on that Marks obviously works with the Observatory. Can you tell us a bit more about how Marks works with the Observatory at the moment?
Marks is one of the Observatory's stakeholders, which includes public and private sector representatives. Marks has appointed 4 representatives to attend the Observatory's meetings. and be the bridge between Marx and its large membership's concerns and the observatory's activities.
Very good. And Maria Cecilia, you're very much involved with that yourself.
Yes, I'm very much involved. I'm a part of the working groups representing Marx, and I'm also in the panel of experts, the International Panel of Experts for the Observatory. So I'm following all the decisions, all the roles the Observatory is playing very closely.
Okay. And obviously, I know from the top down for Marx, anti-counterfeiting is a real priority, isn't it? And it's something that the Council and your team and some of the other teams work very hard on.
Correct. For us, the Observatory is followed very closely because the decisions and the studies they release are key for developing our committee.
And Sonia, you're also a member of the Marx Anti-Counterfeiting and Parallel Trade team, as I said. What particular issues, are there particular issues you're looking at going forward with the Observatory?
Well, yeah, at the moment, probably the biggest objective to work with the Observatory is having the IP crime on the list of impact priorities in the new impact cycle. Yeah. And there's also the preparation of the annual work plans and two ongoing public consultations, the counterfeit piracy watchlist report, the protection and enforcement of intellectual property rights in third countries that we have shared with Marx members for input. But the Observatory is extremely active, and there are always new publications, public consultations, campaign trainings, which are of undeniable interest to Marx members and to which they can also contribute. So the aim of our team is to make sure that the Observatory initiatives are known to the Marx members and to seek their inputs when necessary to support the Observatory work.
You mentioned at the beginning there, impact. I think not all of our listeners will know what that is. Can you just explain a bit more about what that is and why it's important?
Alexander, I don't know if you want to do it. What they do is that they make like consultants. They consult which are the crimes that are more important within Europe, so they can focus their investigations are the resources that they do have to fight against those crimes that they consider that are more important, that are being a bigger challenge or whatever. So for many years, IP crime was a priority in this list. There was a black spot where it was not there, that I think it was 18 to 22 or something like that. Correct me if I'm wrong, Alejandra. And then, you know, we got them back again in 2022, and the new cycle just ends in 2025. So the common aim is to get the IP crime as a priority again, so they can invest, you know, like efforts, manpower in order to fight against IP crime.
Exactly. Yeah. Sonia explained it really well. It's a European policy cycle where the member states essentially decide the priorities for law enforcement in the fight against organized crime. And it's always for a certain number of years, and Sonia has mentioned it, we were very pleased that IP crime, or the fight against IP crime as part of organized crime, was made one of the priorities in the last round. And this was actually due to the very hard work of the stakeholders, I have to say here. So my thanks goes out to Marx and the stakeholders and all our stakeholders of the Observatory, who've also made the same plea, you know, towards the member states, saying this needs to be a priority. And of course, we're hoping to do the same thing again when the next decision is being taken early summer next year for the following cycle. So already now we're asking everybody to raise awareness in their relevant constituencies, and for those to also raise awareness that it is really highly important to continue to have the fight against IP crime in these priorities for law enforcement.
You know, IP rights holders and representatives, they can help with that.
Absolutely, yes. Any type of context, any type of awareness raising is very good in this context.
Is there anything else that people can do to support the work of the Observatory that you would highlight?
Well, I would highlight, if you get a request from Sonia, for example, and she sends around a request, says, okay, here is a suggestion from the Observatory. Do you have a consultation? Do you have any ideas? You know, we do this on various issues. Last ones that I can think of were related to the domain name field. Others were related to international issues. So if we send around something like this to the stakeholders and they send it on to their relevant stakeholders, then we'd be really extremely grateful for the feedback and for input, because this is how we can ultimately be informed about the latest problems that the rights holders and their representative facing.
I mean, that's something Marx, I think, does, doesn't it, with members and beyond. Sonia, Maria, Cecilia, do you want to add anything to that from a Marx perspective?
Marx includes a broad membership experience in the fight against infringements of intellectual property rights from the private sector. Through this membership, the observatory accesses these important players' concerns and experiences to enrich its activities and decisions.
Sonia, is there anything you would like to add to that?
Well, as I said before, we as a team, we try to support the observatory initiatives, and we try to reach the stakeholders constantly. We can get a little bit boring sometimes because we are always, you know, like with the publications and the public consultations. But I think that it's really important, because it's what Alexandra said. I mean, what the observatory needs is input. They want to do things that actually matters and that means something for the stakeholders. So they need the stakeholders' input for what they are interested in, what are the new trends, because unfortunately, the companies, the brand owners are the ones that got the first-hand information on what are the new trends, what are they are finding in the market. So any information that we can get and we can share with the observatory is going to be good for both sides, for the observatories, because they can focus and, you know, like do studies and trainings or whatever in what it really matters at that point in time. And at the same time for the brand owners as well, because they can actually make use of the observatory resources to high awareness and, you know, study new trends and find solutions. So I think that, you know, working hand in hand with the observatories, it's helpful for both of us.
Thank you. We're coming towards the end of the podcast for today. So thanks again to Alexandra for joining us. We're very grateful for that. I've got one last question, or maybe it's two questions for you. What's the best thing about your job as Deputy Director of the Observatory, and what is the most challenging thing?
Well, the best thing certainly is that it never gets boring. This is really one of the things that I really appreciate about my job, is that there are always developments, there are always new trends that are really exciting to get into and to understand better. And also the actual feeling of trying, at least, I don't want to say make the world a better place, but you understand what I mean, no? To do, it's what motivates, something that strongly motivates you at a personal level of continuing to fight against counterfeits and to fight against piracy. So that's a good thing. What's the most challenging? I think sometimes there are a lot of very different interests and voices, and it's challenging to try and distill from them the future work that you want to do. So, for example, for us, we've been very blessed with a wonderful stakeholder network and a lot of ideas that they bring in for our work program. Not all of it we can do, or at least not at the same time. That's also a resources issue. But this is a challenge to sort of say, okay, then what is it that we do, and we do this year and next year. But luckily, we're in the process. I'm not sure if you're aware, but right now the EU IPO is in the process of creating its new strategic plan for 25 to 2030. So that, of course, will give us some very clear steering into the main areas, and actually digital enforcement and building respect for IP is actually one.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, we look forward to hearing more about that then soon, I guess.
For sure. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Sonia, Maria, Cecilia, any final questions or comments from you?
I agree with Alexandra. You never get bored. There's always something new and challenging to learn. You know, being an observatory member has been so enriching with me, even more when my practice is in Ecuador. And I'm trying to bring this knowledge and experiences into my country.
Yeah, I mean, as Maria Cecilia said, these years in which I have had the opportunity of being part of the Observatory Working Group have been really enriching. And that, of course, the Observatory can count with our support and Mark's support to continue with the excellent work they are doing.
Thank you. Well, thank you to Alexandra, Maria Cecilia and Sonia, all three of you, for joining today's podcast. And also thanks to everyone who has listened to the podcast. You can, of course, find out more about the Observatory on the EU IPO website, where it has a dedicated page, I think. And also find out more about the Marx Anti-Counterfeiting and Parallel Trade Team on the Marx website. And as I mentioned, Sonia and Maria Cecilia contribute a monthly update on the observatory activities to the House Marks newsletter. So if you don't already receive that, do look out for that. So thank you very much indeed for taking part. That concludes today's podcast. We're very grateful to everyone for joining. And we hope you'll join us on the next podcast later in the year. Thank you very much.
Join us again soon for another podcast on an important issue for brand owners. To find out more on our website and guest speakers, visit marks.org/podcast.